Sport and booze seem to go together in Australia. It's estimated that alcohol advertising is worth about $300 million to the big three, AFL, NRL and cricket. But a coalition of health organisations says the promotion of alcohol in major sporting events is too prevalent and especially damaging to young people. Sondra Devoren is a senior policy advisor to the Alcohol Policy Coalition and also a legal advisor with the Cancer Council of Victoria. And she joins me from our Melbourne studio. Hello, Sondra.
Good morning, Richard.
Let's start with an example of what you're worried about, the Bathurst V8 car race. How much alcohol promotion is there in that?
Well, there's a lot, it's safe to say. We did a kind of quick and dirty study a couple of years ago, which looked at quantifying how much advertising there was during the ad breaks, but also how much advertising appeared on screen. So we're talking here about the cars, we're talking about podium signage, basically any time there's an alcohol image that appears on the screen. We did a project to calculate that. And we found that through the day, this amounted to about 35 minutes of alcohol advertising, which probably doesn't seem that much. But when you think about the instances of sponsorship appearing on screen being about one per minute, that's a pretty consistent amount of alcohol advertising through the day. And it's watched by a lot of children and young people. You know, we know that sport is really popular with children and young people. So there's actually quite a real kind of drip feed effect of that kind of imagery.
Do we know exactly how many people under 18 watched it?
Yeah, there were at the race peak, which was about mid-afternoon, there were 117,000 children and young people watching. And again, that number might not seem that high, but if you think about Play School, for example, attracts about 120,000 viewers each day. So it's about on par with a really popular children's television show.
Yeah, but I'm guessing they weren't all as young as the Play School demographic, if I could put it that way.
But we're talking about children up to the age of 17, and these are kids who obviously can't drink.
No. Okay, so did this event, or did the way it was done, breach any of the relevant codes?
No, not at all. Actually, the event was run perfectly you know, as per the codes, the code requirements, because alcohol is actually allowed to be advertised during the day on weekends and public holidays, so long as it's accompanying a live sports broadcast.
Yes, I think there are qualifiers around that too. I don't think it can be associated with water sports, for example, and I don't think anyone can appear to be under 25 in the advertising.
Well, that's to do with the content of advertising, and you're exactly right. There's one aspect of the advertising codes that says you can't have direct advertising which is associated with water sports and have people under 25. But the way that code is interpreted is that sponsorship doesn't really fall into that. So you can have sponsorship of sporting events. You can have sponsorship that associates alcohol with success, even though that advertising code says television ads, so in-break advertising, can't be associated with success.
Do the advertising standards say anything about alcohol advertising to children?
Well, it depends which code you're looking at, Richard. There is a generally accepted position in the Australian Association Code of Ethics and in the Commercial Television Code of Practice, which talks about free-to-air television, that says alcohol ads simply shouldn't be shown to children and young people. But what you then have is this funny exception that says, well, despite this, you can show ads during live sport broadcasts over the weekend. So they're saying don't advertise before 8:30 because you're going to capture an audience that isn't meant to look at alcohol ads. But then if it's a live sport broadcast, that rule goes out the window.
But that seems extraordinary. I mean, that's a backdoor into advertising alcohol to children. Why has it not been challenged?
Well, I mean, we've lobbied about it for many years. And look, it's been reflected in the National Preventative Health Task report to government. So they said that alcohol advertising has to be phased out at times and periods where children and young people are watching. And they've also specifically recommended that advertising during live sport has to be phased out, and that alcohol sponsorship of sporting and cultural events has to be phased out, because what this is doing is facilitating the ability of the alcohol industry to target a market that's normally off limits to them.
Yeah, when those recommendations came out, this was in 2008, the sporting organisations were not positive about the idea, I think I'll put it that way.
No.
I'll read a couple of the reported comments at the time. AFL boss Andrew Demetriou said it would cripple football, Cricket Australia, as Peter Young, he's the spokesman, said, the danger with a simplistic approach like let's ban alcohol sponsorship of sport is that all you do is significantly damage sport. NRL boss David Gallop said sponsorship did not grow on trees and our sponsors do a great deal of work promoting positive messages about responsible drinking, and anyone who suggests sports could simply replace their support without substantial financial hardship is mistaken. The sports have made it clear they have a lot to lose and they will argue against this.
Oh, and look, this is a response that comes up time and time again, but we've heard this response before and it was back with tobacco control. And what we have with the tobacco experience is a really good example of a model that works to help lower tier and community clubs challenge the allure of alcohol sponsorship and to find other avenues for that sponsorship. As far as the top tier codes are concerned, look, I don't think there's sponsors not waiting in the wings to take on what is a really lucrative opportunity to expose their product to a market. And look, we've seen this in some international examples. So France does very well without alcohol sponsorship and their sporting codes are not, you know, they're not crippled at all. And we've even seen, I know that the Ashes cricket has a lot of alcohol sponsorship, but the England cricket team is sponsored by, for example, Vodafone. So we know that there are other companies that are ready and willing to step up and to take the place of alcohol sponsorship.
You drew the analogy with tobacco, but they're not the same, are they? We have 60 years now of medical evidence showing the tremendous damage that tobacco does to people, and I know there's plenty of evidence that drinking too much alcohol is a very bad idea, and recently this week, in fact, the Cancer Council has said anything is a bad idea. Don't you think we will have to move a lot further on in that debate before we can really look for this kind of ban?
Look, you're right. And what we should have is policies and regulations that reflect what the evidence base is. And we're really early on in the evidence about alcohol. What we've seen, particularly from a cancer perspective, is that we've known for a long time that alcohol is related to, for example, liver cancers, throat and neck cancers. But what we've found also is that as the evidence is improving, we're now seeing a stronger link with other cancers. And you're absolutely right. On the weekend, Cancer Council released evidence that said there is now a greater correlation between alcohol use and bowel and breast cancers, which is a real worry. As far as alcohol advertising is concerned, we actually do have really good evidence that says if you advertise to children and young people, they'll start drinking earlier and they'll drink at risky levels later in life. From a cancer perspective, that's a real concern. So what we actually want is evidence and regulation of alcohol advertising that reflects what the evidence base is at the moment. And that really does support limiting alcohol advertising to anyone under 25. And you would get amazing health benefits if we did just simply that step.
On Life Matters on ABC Radio National, my guest is Sandra DeVore, and she is she's a senior policy advisor to the Alcohol Policy Coalition. She's also a legal advisor with the Cancer Council of Victoria. That last point you made, Sandra, that there is actually genuine evidence, that's what you're saying, that alcohol advertising, and the back door of this, of course, as we've already established, is through sport to young people, is damaging to those young people.
It is. We've got really good evidence both from Australia and from international studies that says if you advertise to young children and if you advertise to young adults, they are going to take up drinking earlier. And what we're also finding is that in places where alcohol advertising is prevalent, you're having a lot of risky drinking. And what that's leading to is short-term harms. And we know about the short-term harms really well. You know, there's violence, homicides and suicides. What we're also now finding, because we have this time lag, we have this period of good evidence, is that people who are drinking earlier and are encouraged to drink earlier are drinking at higher levels and they're continuing that drinking pattern into their, I guess, their drinking career. And this is why I think we're seeing a real spike in the rates of alcohol-related cancers. And certainly other alcohol-related diseases are also seeing this increase. So, you know, that's a real concern.
Can we say it's a causal link, though, or is there just a correlation?
The causal link is always very difficult, particularly with alcohol consumption and alcohol advertising. But what we are finding is that people are drinking at greater levels, and we know that when you take advertising out of the mix, people reduce their consumption.
Is there any way, then, if we go back to this, the original thing we're talking about of advertising alcohol connected with sport, which is clearly a backdoor to advertise alcohol to people under 18. Is there any way this can be challenged within the current legal framework?
Well, look, the problem that we have is that these are industry-driven regulatory codes. So advertising is self-regulated at the moment. So you have television stations, you have outdoor media associations setting their own rules. What we do need is for the government to step in and say, hey, you guys aren't really doing this properly. There's no public health focus here. You're not actually protecting the most vulnerable in society. And so what we need is for the government to step up to implement the National Preventative Health Task Force recommendations and to say, we're going to have an independent regulator who's going to oversee these codes of practice, who's going to enforce the codes of practice. Because what we have here is rules set by the industry, enforced by the industry, and then penalties coming from the industry. And you can appreciate that that really doesn't go, it goes against what are community concerns and public health concerns.
But I don't have to tell you that the alcohol industry, the various parts of it, have been very effective as a lobby over over quite a long time in Australia. To actually get that to happen, there will need to be some kind of public pressure, some kind of groundswell to combat the lobbying power of the alcohol industry.
You're absolutely right. And look, it is up to public health campaigners, it is up to the public to put this pressure on the government. I mean, you know, the voters can put this pressure to government and say, implement these recommendations that public health researchers, that good policy has put together. And we know that there is a groundswell of support for this kind of for these kind of restrictions. We've got community attitude surveys that say 82% of respondents support a restriction on alcohol advertising so that it can't be seen by people under 18 years of age. We have that support in the community. It really is just a matter of the government stepping up and saying, this is what the public wants, this is what we're going to do.
Sondra, stay in touch with us about this.
I will. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you for joining me. That's Sondra Devore, and she's Senior Policy Advisor to the Alcohol Policy Coalition, also a legal advisor with the Cancer Council of Victoria. Love to hear from you on this. Do you talk to children and adolescents about the effect that advertising has on them? Do they notice it? Do they think it's cool to have a drink when watching sport, or just to be familiar with the brands? So much branding associated with alcohol, so many giveaways associated with alcohol branding. Give us a call on the listener line, 02833 1430, or head to abc.net.au/rn/lifematters to either send us an email or make a comment, or you can always comment, of course, on the Facebook page. And indeed, we'll have your letters and calls coming up a bit later in the show. You're with Life Matters. I'm Richard Adie on ABC Radio National. And next, navigating the 21st century as an older worker.